Hi, welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltore, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, we have been exploring the Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, in taking each one of them and really getting to know their contributions. We are now on episode number 91. Let's get started. Regular viewers to the channel know that I produce a video called The Program 2.0. Have a look at that if you haven't already, and if you want more information, this will give you the ins and outs of the program and why and how it was started. Her name is Jacqueline Labbé. I like that name. This is a viewer request. I don't have her in my files anywhere. So let's get to know Jacqueline a little bit better. She is a woman of mystery, this Jacqueline. She was born around 1651, somewhere in France. On that map is where her birthplace is. We do not know her parents as well. She does, at the age of 17, embark on the great adventure of her life, Les Filles du Roi, and she sails on La Nouvelle France, and she arrives in Quebec City on July 3rd, 1668. Who does she select and who selects her? The groom she selects and who selects her? His name is Maître Colin de la Liberté. He was born in 1643 in a township or commune of Guilly, which is found in Brittany. His parents are unknown, so we have two sets of unknown parents. And we do know that he was a master mason, so that's important to know. Now, Guilly is a commune, as I've said, in the Morriban department, which is like a county of Brittany in northwestern France. Now let's talk a little bit about Brittany, because that's a fascinating place. It lies in the west northwest corner of France, and it's one of the most historic provinces of this country. The most Atlantic, as you see how it juts out of France's regions, Brittany is noted for its Celtic heritage, which sets us apart from the rest of France. It does have kind of like a mild climate, a little bit warmer, though not necessarily drier than the rest of the southwest of England, but it kind of resembles that. The name Brittany derives from the Britons who, back in the Dark Ages, came south across the English Channel to seek refuge from the Anglo-Saxon invaders, who were pushing them out of a large part of the island of Great Britain. So that's, Brittany is a fascinating, you know, you could do many, many videos just on Brittany alone. But that, and the church that I put up, that is the church in Guilly that he would have been baptized in. And this is just an aerial view of the beauty of that place and how absolutely gorgeous it is. So he arrived in New France on September 12, 1665, aboard the ship Le Saint-Sébastien, and he was part of the Saint-Ours company of the Carignan soldiers. So that is what brought him here. So we know that, that Jacqueline arrived in 1668. We also further know that she was present at a marriage, her name, she was a witness, to another Filles du Roi who got married in 1669. Because we have no marriage record between Maître and Jacqueline, we can only assume that they were married sometime in late 1669. That is our assumption, but we believe they were married at Saint-Ours. So Jacqueline and Maître would settle for a time, for about 5 or 6 years, at Saint-Ours. Which, as you remember, that was his officer that he had arrived with. So there was, I assume there was a plot of land that he had and that sort of thing. And here's a little history about Saint-Ours. The Seigneurie of Saint-Ours was given to Jean Talon, or by Jean Talon, to Pierre de Saint-Ours, who was that officer of the regiment of Carignan-Saint-Hilaire. It was a slow place to start when Maître and Jacqueline came in 1670. I mean, it was really kind of a forest, and it wasn't developed at all. The church registry was open only in 1681. In fact, the first two children that Jacqueline and Maître would have to be baptized at Sorel. And this place was under fire from the Iroquois in 1691, and the seigneury grew very, very slowly. In fact, it was not until 1703 that a mill was built. So this is kind of probably, in my mind, I think to myself, well, like, why did they move? Well, probably they wanted to go to a place where they could actually, you know, start a life and have, you know, have the kind of, at least rudimentary things to create that life, at least a church. It was founded in 1657 by Charles Lemoine, who was a merchant from Ville Marie, as a seigneurie. Charles Lemoine, who was the lord of the area starting in 1657, named Longueuil after the village of Longueuil, which is a slightly different spelling, which is part of his homeland of Normandy. His son, Charles Lemoine de Longueuil, built Fort Longueuil as his fortified residence. It was constructed of stone between 1685 and 1690 and had four towers. Now, remember I mentioned, and this is not anything that I found, but remember I said he was a master mason? I'm just saying. He probably found work because they kind of moved around 1675. So he would have been present at Longueuil, waiting for it, you know, kind of making the contacts. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was part of that construction. You can see that Longueuil on the map looks vastly different, but as a girl that was born and bred in a place called Drummondville, Quebec, it's about an hour up the road, if you will, and Longueuil is just a hop, skip, and a jump to the island of Montreal. You can see on the bottom, the center picture, how Longueuil really covers, hovers over next to the St. Lawrence. We have the church that was built eventually, obviously was not there in their time. And this house was built in the early 1700s, and I wanted to illustrate that it is a museum and it's something you can visit. And this is a picture of Charles Lemoine. I believe it is the picture of the sun, but I could be wrong. So they would go on to have 12 children. Marie married Yves François Roy and had three children, all of whom made it to adulthood. André, their second born, married Jeanne Cadieux and had 10 children, seven who made it to adulthood. Jean would die at 12 years of age. Michel married Louise Charron and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marguerite married Léger Bret and had six children, all of whom also made it to adulthood. Madeleine married Antoine Paget and had 17 children, but only five of whom made it. Pierre married Marthe Boutelier and had 12 children, eight of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Anne, we do not know any information on Marie-Anne. Marie-Joseph married Guillaume Héroux, but does not appear to have had any children. François died in infancy. Marie-Anne also died as a young child. And Marie-Thérèse married Pierre César, but did not appear to have any children. You know, there was some sort of mysterious epidemic that was in Montreal, and Mathurin would fall victim to it and was buried the very same day. That's usually an indication he died in hospital, and he died on the 14th of April, 1708. They would have been married 38 years, which is still a really remarkable amount of time. Now, Jacqueline herself would go on to live and did not remarry. She died November 1st, 1721, at a very respectable age of 71. Just a remarkable kind of couple and kind of salt of the earth. That's what I think of them. I want to make sure to mention some of the resources to further your education and knowledge. La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which, by the way, has been in existence since 1994, so they've been around a long time. I'm actually the membership chair now, but before I even joined the association, I would use their website religiously because it really told me, it gave me a lot of information. A newer one that I've discovered is on Facebook. Filles du Roi descendants, over 5,000 by now, and they have remarkable, camaraderie and very, very good place to kind of connect and they anybody can help you, and it's just a really nice group of people. And then the third resource I have is Migration, which I use constantly, and it's everything you ever wanted to know about Fille du Roi, the Carignan soldiers. Love that site. And I put the links in the notes below. And with that we end number 91, Jacqueline Labbé, who, you know, was just a remarkable woman of mystery. We don't have a lot of information. We do know one thing. In 1729, when they did a study of how many descendants, she scored very high, 107 descendants. So although we do not know where she's from or her parents or her pedigree, and I'm sure DNA will help us over time kind of link up things. That's what I think anyway. But she first lived in Saint-Ours, which was kind of, you know, out there in the frontier, and then obviously made her home in Longueuil and was, you know, a pioneer there as well. So I think that she was a brave and strong woman, you know, settled in. Her and her husband were together till the end of, you know, of his life, and she did not remarry. And I think she was a remarkable contributor to the areas and to the history of Quebec. So thank you, viewer, for allowing me to explore this particular lady. And with that, I will bid you adieu and au revoir until I see you on episode number 92.